Hello.
Hi, Brad.
Hi.
Okay, we're going to call to order the March 15th, 2016 Southern Nevada District Board of Health Finance Committee meeting. Present are three members, Doug Dobine, Rod Woodbury, and Bob Beers. That constitutes a quorum of this committee, hence we are moving forward with our call to order. Wait, I just did that. Are we properly noticed?
Yes, we are.
Agendized?
Yes, we are.
Nothing holding us back?
Nothing holding us back.
Then let's get to public comment, a period devoted to comments by the general public. Does anyone wish to speak? If not, I will dispense with reading the rules that will regulate your speech and move on to agenda item 3, the adoption of the March 15th, 2016 agenda. Are there any changes proposed to the agenda as it has been published? Hearing none, I would accept the motion to adopt the March 15, 2016 agenda.
I move to adopt the minutes.
Any members opposed? That motion is adopted. Agenda item 4 for report, discussion, action. First item is sub 1, approve the Finance Committee meeting minutes from November 16, 2015. Anyone have any corrections to those minutes? Hearing none, I accept the motion to approve the Finance Committee meeting minutes from our November 16, 2015 meeting.
I have a motion to approve the minutes.
Such a motion is on the floor. All those opposed?
Can we get a second?
Second?
Mr. Woodbury, can you second that motion?
I second.
Yes, I can.
All those members opposed? Hearing none, the motion is adopted. Sub 2 is to review, discuss proposal for a new audit firm. Who's going to be handling that?
I am.
Sharon?
Good afternoon. We went out.
Tell us who you are for the record.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Sharon McCoy Huber, Financial Services Manager. This is to discuss, the background is that we've been using PBTK, Pierce Bowler. Anyways. for the last 5 years, and so we've gone out for proposals for a new audit firm. It's not mandated that we go back out for bid, but it's recommended by Government Finance Officers Association that every 5 years that you review your audit firm and that you discuss changing, because change is good sometimes, you know. But so what we did is we went out for proposals. We asked them all to submit qualifications and background information. We had three responses, one being BDO, PBTK, and Edie Bailey. And this is their score sheet, as you have in front of you, or the Geller matrix?
Geller
matrix. And as you can see, BDO scored a 75, PBTK scored a 90.6, and Edie Bailey scored a 91.7. Staff's recommendation is to go forward with Edie Bailey to begin the 16-17 year. Realistically, we'd like to go with them a minimum of 3 years with a possible extension up to 5 years. But I would never recommend going any longer than 5 years. So I'm kind of open to questions if you have any about any of these three firms.
I assume Edie Bailey's actually a firm, not just one person. Okay.
Yes, it is a firm.
Have that clarified.
That was Doug Dobine.
Oh, sorry.
Jackie's going to have to end up, I think, typing this out someday. So, are there any questions, board members? Hearing none, I would accept the motion to forward the recommendation of staff with committee approval to contract with Edie Bailey for our next 3 years audit with a possible extension for two more.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Oh, got another second. Okay, we have a motion on the floor. All those opposed? Hearing none, motion passes. Agenda item 4 sub 3. Rod, did you have a question?
No.
Agenda item 4 sub 3 is to review and discuss the fiscal 16-17 budget.
There you go.
That must be Sharon McCoy-Huber again.
Good afternoon again. Sharon McCoy-Huber, Financial Services Manager. In your packets, we sent out a draft budget worksheet, booklet, actually. And then we also sent out our three-year projection. First, I'd like to discuss the budget. And in the presentation, where we begin is primarily with the reason we prepare an annual budget is, one, it's required by the state of Nevada, and also we have to have it submitted to Clark County no later than April 1st. As you can see on our timeline, we began the process on December 8th of 2015. Our training began December 10th of 2015. Staffing requests were due back by January 8th, 2016. The input was supposed to be complete January 25th of 2016, but we had extended that because there were other things going on here at the health district. And the one thing I've noted is due to office relocation and review and adjustments. We gave leadership, was supposed to get the final review on March 1st, and that was extended an additional 10 days. And then the Board of Health presentation is scheduled for March 24th, 2016, which is the last board meeting prior to April 1st. So, fund types. I shared this last year with you. The fund types that the Southern Nevada Health District has are the general fund, which is primarily our tax revenue and regulatory fees and other charges for services, special revenue funds, where we put all of our grants, capital project funds, which holds the building reserve fund and the capital project fund. We also have an enterprise fund, which is the Southern Nevada Public Health Laboratory. We have an internal service fund, which is our workers' comp liability fund. And we have a fiduciary fund, which is our employee activity fund. Now we'll just get into the meat of all the dollars. As you can see, our revenues by source are $68,183,000. And of that $68 million, $19.8 million is proposed to be property tax, $18.7 million is proposed to be regulatory fees. The grants are estimated to be about almost $18 million. So with the bulk of that being said, that and our fees for service of $10 million, that equals our $68 million revenues that we'll be bringing in. Are there any questions on the revenues? Okay, on the expenditure, the changes to the revenues. What I wanted to do was highlight what changed in our revenues from current to 16-17. We had one new grant, and it was the Retail Food Regulatory Program for $262,000. And then in the 16-17 year, we had two grants reduced. One was the PITCH grant. Their third year funding is going to be reduced by $662,000. And the Ryan White Part B intervention grant is being reduced by $275,000. The property tax allocation, we put in the budget an estimate of 0.2%, which is $39,000. That's been the recommendation that's been going around by the fiscal officers in the valley. But I know Jeff Scherer, who's here with the county, I've been in communication with him. He estimates the number to be higher. And so I'm one of those that out of, you know, until that final day comes, I'll be very conservative when it comes to estimating, especially revenues. So we only put in the 39,000. And I think the difference between what Jeff felt like it might be is another $200,000. So feasibly, our revenues could go up an additional amount. And usually, we get that number right at the end of March.
25th of March, we get the numbers from the state. It's new property that's coming on. This 0.2% or 0.002 is current property. Because of the tax caps, everything will be flat. It's the new value of the new property that's coming into the county that the assessor's bringing in. We figure it to be about $4 million countywide. So obviously you get percentage of that. So it's relatively flat.
But you think it's going to be more like 1% than 0.2%?
Yeah, it calculated out, Thomas, 1.9%.
Oh, you're asking me? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the number that I gave you was 20.4. Does that sound right?
Yeah,
it was. I have to give up.
20.4.
I think what my recommendation to you to use was 20.1, actually.
20.1 what?
20.1 million for FY17. So yeah, a couple hundred thousand above what your 1977 was.
Okay, but we agree with management. Agrees with Sharon. Let's use this. And then you all will know if and when, just like you did last year when we got a little bit of a bump.
Right.
We'll learn that.
The state sends the numbers out on the 25th, which is unfortunately the day after your meeting, but I will send it to Sharon as soon as we get it and calculate it. Probably have it for you. That's a Friday. Sometimes they send it out at 4:59, so we'll have it for you Monday.
And our recommendation is to take to the board the budget as presented, but to include any tax revenue budget adjustments that we receive after the board date, because we get notified usually after the board date, but before the first, before we have to submit.
And I think that was your recommendation last
it
year,
was.
Too. That way we don't have to bring that new amount back to the board in a separate action.
That's correct. So the other thing is that our immunizations and clinical services revenue is increasing by $400,000, and that's primarily because of the billing and Medicaid. So, but that is still increasing. If you recall, last year we estimated an increase of almost $500,000, and this year we're recommending another increase of another $400,000. So, it is moving us forward by doing the billing. Any questions on the revenues? Okay, on the expenditures, what we've got here is a comparison by category, and this is combined general and special revenue funds. This is broken out from salaries, fringe benefits, services and supplies, and transfers out. Primarily what we've got going on here is we've got an increase in salaries of almost $3 million. An increase of fringe benefits and payroll taxes of $1 million, a reduction in services and supplies of approximately $4 million, and a minor adjustment in transfers out. The increase in salaries is, you want to go down, primarily due to staff adjustments, and I'm going to go down. The staff adjustments, there's 16 net position increase. Actually, there's like 22 new positions coming on, but we're eliminating 6 positions. So net-wise, it's a total of 16 positions. So we are adding to that, and we'll discuss staffing later in the presentation also. Service and supplies, if you recall, if you toggle back, that number went down from 18.7 to 14.3. The primary reasons that's going down is that space rental is decreasing by $1.6 million because we're in our new home now. And capital equipment is reducing by $1.1 million. This year we bought some needed items, primarily because of the new facility. And also the scanning costs are reducing by almost $500,000. Those are the changes by category. Now, if we go to the next graph, it's a comparison by divisions. And what the comparison by division shows is it shows each of the four divisions And like clinical services, it shows an increase of a little over approximately $1.5 million. That's an increase of 6 staff members. Those 6 staff members include 3 staff members that we're proposing to put in the mobile clinic that we'll be purchasing this year. Environmental health, it's an increase from 19.7 to 22.4 million. That's primarily due to staffing increases. Environmental health increased their staff by 11. Community health, that's a decrease. And the reason that that is decreasing is the loss of funding on the PITCH grant, that third year funding of $662,000. And also we had some tenured staff that were in community health that retired during this current year. And that also helped reduce salaries by almost $300,000. Administration, the reason that it's going down is primarily the $1.6 million in lease payments that are going down. But the other thing is that the cost allocations are still at the 13-14 rate of 36.33%, the indirect. Because we're always, that's a couple years behind. When we get the new cost allocation, usually in November, we'll apply the new rate. But, and we were projecting it to go down probably to 33%. But that's why there's the reduction in administration.
So is the overhead applied right now in the budget for the operating departments at 33%?
36.33.
So.
And if it drops down to 33, what'll happen is the purple bars will go down, and in administration, the purple bar will go up.
So that is basically the far right hand.
Yes.
Column is the unapplied admin?
Yes.
Only?
Yes.
Any admin that's been applied through the overhead allocation is not shown there?
Right, because administration without the cost allocation, the cost there is $19.3
million. Okay. Any changes in the overhead allocation methods?
Excuse
you don't
me.
Know until November? Any changes?
Usually in November.
The methods?
The methods would be the same, wouldn't they?
Well, what'll happen is we'll start recommending the rental to come out, and maybe it does have a separate column for the space rental, if I remember right.
I believe so.
Yeah, we're doing a brain thing to see. But
if I may, though, what this is setting us up for, we discussed this with senior staff today, is it'll make our grants more competitive if we have a lower indirect rate, and that may come as soon as November, and then the next year, and the next year, that indirect rate should go down as the full cost recovery for this building is put into it, and it will make us able then to put more money into programs and staff instead of into the indirect, into the buildings that we've been paying millions of dollars a year for.
Correct. And so the next sheet shows how the staffing, this is a breakdown of the staffing. If you look at the top line, it shows community health from 2014-15 at 79.25 to 16-17 of 113. If you recall, between the 14-15 year and the 15-16 year, the reason there's the big increase is because we moved some programs out of clinical services into community health, because you'll see the same type of delta in clinical services from 14-15 to 15-16. Environmental health in 14-15 was almost 151 staff, and in 16-17 it's at 161. Clinical services went from 166 down to 120.
Trail inside of here.
Excuse me?
Is the Lakeview Trail room in here?
Rod?
Mute.
Rod?
Oh,
he hung up.
Oh, he's here.
Yeah, he's here. Do you want to wait?
There he is.
Yeah, he is there right he is. Here.
There he is.
We can hear you talking on your phone.
Yes, nobody knew where you were. So.
Yeah, he just went to find you.
Have a seat.
We've already approved an increase in the salaries for our board members.
Good.
We're going to double them.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
We were talking about the staffing, how it's changed from 14-15, 15-16, and then forward to the proposed. As you can see, it's 16 staff member increase from the current 15-16 to the proposed 16-17. And then we broke it out by division so you could see where the changes are happening.
So this table appears to be before overhead is applied?
Yeah, it's just about staff members. Yeah, it's just about FTEs.
It's not money. It's
oh,
just
I
staff.
See. That's bodies. You know what? You drop FTE either after staffing by division or below it?
Sure.
For our presentation before?
Yeah, that'd be great.
And the three that we're losing in administration is because we have consolidated, so we need fewer administrative staff in housekeeping and maintenance.
And Sharon, could you add a sixth column?
Sure.
That is a percentage change 2016-17 over 15-16?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
You can see, though, is the biggest is in Jackie's division. And that's due to the fact that we need more, as you all well know, and we can afford them.
So the first question I have is, do you have any questions about just the operating budget for 16-17?
Sure. There's a couple other areas where a percentage increase or decrease might make sense.
Okay.
I'm sure you'll recognize them when you run into them. So the long saga of our wind damaged building comes to an end.
No.
And we add 5% more people for our mission.
Well, I'm saying no because that saga will never come to an end. It'll live on.
I'll tell it forever, but yeah.
Good. And also the long saga is that our revenues have pretty much stayed flat and our expenditures have pretty much stayed flat. So we're pretty much rolling forward with the proposed flat budget. So if you're ready to move on, I'll share the three-year plan with you.
So we're not looking at any fee increases?
Yeah, we likely are. We're still going through the methodology that Sharon and Jackie and her staff or their staffs are working on to make sure that we have what a fair hourly rate is, and then that hourly rate would then be applied to inspections and other services that Environmental Health does.
And how has that ambiguity been handled in the budget?
It's not in the budget.
Yeah.
It would be future revenues that either we can add to the budget at a later date, because we're at the point where I think the earliest that we would be bringing the fee adjustment to you would be, what, May, June? Because
maybe.
Yeah. So it may not even happen until during next fiscal year. So.
Okay. Yeah, so we put into the budget, as Sharon said earlier, what we know now. And what we know now is what we're getting now.
Yep. Members, any questions? It might be good for the board meeting to have a brief summary from each of the four division heads on the change in staffing. Why it's going up or down, just not even a paragraph really, just a brief statement, because I can anticipate a board member asking that question and hand it off and pass this way.
can do that.
All right, so before we move on to the three-year plan, which is a separate sub-item under agenda item 4, if memory serves, and if there are no further questions from our board members, then I would accept the motion at this time to forward the budget proposal to the full board with our recommendation for approval.
To include any tax revenue budget adjustments.
To include any tax revenue budget adjustments on the day after we have our meeting. We hope.
Mr. Chair, item number 5 is discuss and approve recommendations. So you can go through the entire list and do them all at the same time. Or you can take it out of order.
That didn't make very much sense because it's the minutes from the last meeting.
It does make more sense, I think, to do them one at a time.
That's fine. I'm just...
I didn't recommend that to you, but it does make more sense.
I lost my agenda. Oh, here it is. So does anyone want to make a motion to approve this budget and send it on to the board?
So moved.
Motion?
Second.
Second. All members opposed, say aye or nay or something. Motion passes. Agenda item 4 is the three-year projections. And then I think we could dispense with 5, huh?
Mm-hmm. What you've got before you is the three-year projection. This, as well as the draft detail budget we sent out beforehand, so that you did have numbers, lots of numbers to review. And as you can see, if you recall, we ended the 2014-15 year with an ending fund balance of $15.4 million. Our adopted budget, we were estimating our fund balance would be $9.4 million, and it's actually, we are now estimating our fund balance to be $16.5 million. And if you look at our revenues and expenditures under the column that says 2015-16 estimated, the revenues have increased. One of the increases is that we had left a projection out of last year's budget, and that was revenues on vital records. Our expenditures have decreased. Primarily the decrease in our expenditures is due to staffing changes and attrition, vacancies. So we feel like this will be the budget that we'll be ending with. So we're estimating a change in fund balance of almost $1.1 million increase to the budget. Then with the proposed budget, as we just reviewed, we're proposing that we will have a net change in fund balance of $287,000. And then we're projecting out the following year a net change in fund balance of $222,000.
What we talked about with managers and supervisors today is if you take that $221,000 and divide it by the fund balance, it's way less than 1%, so it's razor thin, as I think we've mentioned to you on previous three-year budgets. And so there are a variety of things that could go wrong, including a change in property values. If there happens to be another bubble and it breaks, I'm sure, Jeffrey, you would agree. You know, the world stage seems better to me, not in the United States necessarily, but on the world stage it seems better. And so it just depends on all those variables as to how the overall federal and state economy could be impacted, which could impact us too. And I always want to put that in so that people understand that we're doing the best we can with unknowns everywhere else.
So I think I know the answer. And that is that other under financing sources and uses, the transfer from grant funds, transfer from proprietary fund, and transfer to general fund, and probably transfer to grant funds, all add up to zero.
Pretty much, yes, sir. And the reason that is that's to cover the cost allocation differences.
Okay.
So that way the programs are absorbing the cost at the same percentage, because it also lets you know in the special revenue funds how much we're supplementing the grants, because like some grants we're lucky if we get 10%, some grants we get 0% indirect, and then we do have a couple grants that do pay us 28-35%.
And I told you my Medicaid story, right?
No, what's your Medicaid story?
Oh, I don't know, 10, 12, 14 years ago, David Goldwater and I got assigned to a two-person committee during a legislative session to figure out why the federal government was asking the state of Nevada for $1 million.
Okay.
And the answer ended up being we had been a little aggressive in our overhead allocation. And so we allocated more expense than we incurred for admin, IT, et cetera, to Medicaid. Presented the total we spent on Medicaid to the state and said we'd like our 54%, I think,
mm-hmm.
reimbursement, and they happily wrote us a check, and then 5 years later they came back, did an audit, and said, oh, for 5 years, our 54% has been too big by the amount we overallocated.
Wow. And that's why most of the grants only give us the 10%, because that's the de minimis ruling.
Right.
But the other thing is that until we reach a threshold of $35 million in direct federal grants, our multiplier cannot be used. And so we take the de minimis amount, or we negotiate with the grantors. If they'll go a little higher, that would be great. We show them our cost allocation. We show them that we do go through the time of calculating our indirect, even though they don't pay us at that level. But it's given us a little bit of leverage to where when we've had a couple that have said, okay, well, we'll pay you 15%, we've been very pleased with that.
Good negotiating. Any questions, board members? I have a couple.
Okay.
The first would be, I have been trained to expect the transfer to the proprietary fund to start shrinking.
Okay.
And here it is getting bigger.
Yes, sir.
What's our plan there?
The plan there is that what we'd like to do is start billing for the services that the laboratory, some of the services, because a lot of the services has to do with public health, and we can't bill that. We want to start billing for other services because they are doing more lab services for us. Currently at the time, we don't have the capability for billing the lab services. Also, we haven't yet brought you all of the lab fees to the board to be approved. But we don't have, the primary reason is we don't have the capability right now. We're still in the process of trying to get something moving on that. So we didn't budget any revenue because we don't know how long the process is going to take for us to implement billing for the lab.
So what percentage of the lab's work is for health district public health stuff versus not?
Probably about 50%.
Should it be in a proprietary fund? It was in a proprietary fund when I got here, and that's been 4 years ago in 2 weeks.
Usually,
so Dr. Sands called that weekend and said, oh, guess what? Welcome to the board.
Yeah.
On Sunday. We're not showing up tomorrow.
Usually a proprietary fund has to be self-sufficient and have enough revenue and set fees in order to maintain its expenditures. I'm not really sure why it was set up as a proprietary fund 12 years ago. I would say no, it doesn't qualify to be a proprietary fund, but I've just been.
Is there any benefit to the overall organization by billing work it does on its public health mission to the various public health subgroups within the health district that use the lab? Is there any possibility for increasing grant reimbursements or federal reimbursements?
That's part of our goal, is to, like, we're starting to do the chlamydia and syphilis and gonorrhea. And the goal is to build a grant for those labs. because what currently happens now is like we'll send it to Quest, and Quest bills us back, and then we charge the grant for that bill. But also the way that it works now, because we have so many clients that have insurance or Medicaid, that Quest bills the clients that have insurance or Medicaid, and the ones that do not or get a no bill get billed back to us. So it's 2 years ago, it used to be cut and dry that we paid 100% of the lab bill. And now it's where it's divvied up into it. If the capability's out there, the client doesn't pay, but their insurance company pays, and then Quest writes off the difference, which we would write off the difference. And that's why I said our issue is the billing issue, because what we've got to do is if the patient has Medicaid or insurance, we have to bill Medicaid or insurance first before we can bill the grant. And so the goal is to bill the grants for the parts that we can't collect from the insurance companies, but we haven't been able to get our hands around a billing system that would work.
And if I may, the other issue has been that Amerigroup and I think HPN both won't allow us to use our own lab to do the analyses, and we're trying to work through Richard Whitley and the state to be able to force both or any of the new ones who may come on board. You and I may have had this discussion, but Amerigroup asked for a letter of recommendation from me, and I refused to give them one because they refused to be a partner to us. They came in and tried to do other things to be a partner, but it wasn't what we needed, which is they need to reimburse us for the care that we give to their clients and to the laboratory so we can get the laboratory more whole. And I don't know if either of you two know, but what kind of percentage would that be if we could bill Amerigroup, for example, or Medicaid in general for the labs that we're now sending out to Quest? I think it would be a lot.
Would you say 30%?
I would say more.
More than that? And the thing is,
if we can break their exclusive,
they have their exclusivity.
I think it would be more.
Yeah.
And we're working with the state to get that done so that the state Medicaid requires, not just for us, but for all of the local and state health entities, that we can bill, we can have the lab processed in our own lab and bill for it. To HPN and Amerigroup.
Right. And the one of the main issues is those insurance companies have exclusivities like with Quest or CPL or it's those labs. And so consequently, they've denied us and said, well, you know, we have an exclusive contract with Quest, so we're in a catch-22 kind of thing.
We originally thought when we instituted chlamydia and gonorrhea that we would get all of that.
Yeah.
And might have been a bit naive. I don't think I can tell you, and I think Bonnie couldn't tell you, that we thought that they had exclusive contracts with other labs. So we're still, again, we're working through that issue, and that's going to be very helpful to us.
But we didn't want to estimate revenue in lab without knowing the results of some of those things.
And from my point of view, functionally, is I'd like to see the lab budget broken out like it is. We could change it from proprietary fund to lab fund. I'm not sure what we would call it, so it doesn't give you the impression that it has to break even. I don't think any of us on staff thinks that the lab will ever break even because of the things we have to do. For example, Tony, we just got notified from Pat Armour that there's a sample coming from Sunrise or one of the hospitals that could be anthrax. I could guarantee you it's probably not, but we have to run it, and that's going to be several hours of overtime that we don't get reimbursed for. So those kinds of activities, which we do routinely, I'd say at least every week we do something like that, and usually it involves overtime that we can't bill for. So, but management-wise, I want to have a laboratory fund so I see it separately,
yeah,
like I can see Jackie's.
What's the downside of arguably mislabeling this a proprietary fund? I mean, people are going to laugh at you a little bit behind your back at the GFOA conference.
Then I won't go to conference.
Well, actually, I think we want you to go.
Primarily, I think it's just if the auditors come in and say, you've got a fund structurally set up incorrectly and you're reporting it as a proprietary fund type, and it's truly not, it doesn't meet all the criteria.
They decide they want to qualify our opinion over it.
Well, I don't think they would qualify our opinion, especially the first year if we continued on. I think they might write a note in a management letter that says, we think you need to change this practice. I think that would kind of be a first warning.
But we haven't had those kinds of findings on any of the audits so far.
So going back then to your PowerPoint presentation, not the draft budget, but the landscape version,
mm-hmm.
if we did that on page, I believe it was 12, you would have a fifth line.
We could.
Because currently, community health, the lab is in community health. That's part of the
rolls
lab.
Up in community health?
Yes. And it's part of the 113 staff members in community health.
And we could do that. To my mind, this is sort of the management. It is four division directors report to me, and Dr. Carifo reports to me as the community health division director for now. And you know, many public health entities have the laboratory. I did in one of my other counties. The laboratory reported directly to me. I wouldn't mind that either. It just is, it stretches me to have five instead of four, but I can do that.
And then if you went to page 8 on the handout that you received, in the draft budget, page 8, where it talks about the community health division, it's, you can see the lab broken out there and how many staff members and what their expenditures are.
So, unless one of the board members objects, I would like you sharing over the next, I don't know, can even be month, to talk to some of your peers in other agencies and kick around alternatives, mm-hmm. whether it makes sense to make that a new
fund.
I guess, of its own, or a division, I guess not a new fund, it would roll into the general fund and be called the laboratory fund at that point. But I'd like to get you out of being painted into the corner if you don't know what a proprietary fund is. Or appearing you don't know what a proprietary fund is.
Thank you.
Because you do know.
Yes, sir.
Any questions, board?
Switch the page. These were the unknowns that we stated in the 3-year plan we talked about. We still don't have, the results from the CHIP. Also, the need for potential future leases. Like I shared with you, we're buying a mobile clinic this year. We put staff in for next year. But we don't know if we're going to need funds for a lease for North Las Vegas. Henderson, currently that lease expires June 30th. There are monies in the budget for a lease for Henderson, but at half the cost because the lease at Henderson is really expensive. And then the vector control program, and then, you know, economic factors that feasibly could face us also is another unknown. Graphically, on the next slide, we showed you what this does is this shares with you what our fund balance has been doing. I think it kind of starts back in 13-14. We really started, that's when we started sharing, okay, here's what's going on. We've got to start controlling our spending. We've got to start watching what we're doing. You can see that we went from 12.9 million to 15.4 million at the end of last year. We're projecting out at the end of this year to be at 16.5. Originally, we had budgeted 9.5, but we are going to be at 16.5. And then as you see future years going out, What I'm seeing is that we're probably going to historically stay flat, because as additional funds become available, I think we want to roll those funds into program areas and, you know, really meet the services that the Valley needs from us.
And that we've heard from all of you, including people not here, over the years that I've been here, where we should be putting money here, there, and so on. So we'd like to put back into the community.
That was going to bring up my last point. Given the fact that we may well have another $400,000 in property tax not in this budget, and that we may in fact succeed in some of the initiatives in the lab, which would reduce, or rather increase, a ending fund balance if we didn't spend it.
Correct.
Can you be prepared next week, the two of you be prepared next week to tell us what?
Oh yeah, I can tell
give
you.
Give us a prioritized list of what we would do with the first 100 and the second 100 and the third 100 and the 400,000. And be prepared to address where in the existing expense structure we might be incurring any non-recurring stuff, so that we can weigh a future impact on how we deal with a revenue coming in over budget situation in implementing the priorities.
Yep.
Does that all make
sure.
sense?
Mm-hmm.
Board members, anybody got any questions?
Not on this.
Okay.
The next few slides share with you the other funds that we have. This is the laboratory fund. We talked about it the way that it was working out as the transfer out from the general fund. This is where it shows that we did not budget any revenues, and then what the transfer ends from the general fund does. So more or less what's proposing to happen is that the general fund will be supporting the lab until we start doing some billing. If you look at 14-15, the reason that there's revenues there is at that time in 14-15, all the grant funds were reported, like if there were grants with the laboratory fund, they were there. If there were grants with the general fund, they were reported with the general fund. That is the lab portion of the FEP grant, and it has now been moved to the special revenue fund also.
Has the expense of us doing the work the grant is asking of us to move there as well?
Yes.
But there are FEP funds going into the laboratory to support the laboratory, and then the grant, the ELC, which is the Epidemiology and Laboratory Grant. And we're just getting ready to, well, I can tell you that the FEP funds will go up whenever their fiscal year starts by around 1%, but that may not keep entirely pace with salary increases. And the ELC grant, we're just getting ready to put in a proposal for that. I think last year, you might remind me, I don't think Jim is here, but we put in 500,000, got 150 from the state, and we're gonna go back out and put in a whole lot more, which would go into both epidemiology and into the lab. That's what it's for.
And in just the FEP grant on the lab side is another $990,000.
That you don't see on this slide
because it's in the special revenue funds. So there's so the lab is costing, the expenses for the lab are running about 3.3 million. And then the next slide is the building reserve fund.
Can we just post an accounting entry to record expense or revenue to the lab and expense to the other, even if we don't have billing to support it? I don't know. It just seems, I mean, if half the lab is internal activity, then we shouldn't be showing a $3 million expense on a proprietary fund, I think.
And I think that half will increase. We're trying to get TB in-house. When that happens, that'll be better. And then if we can get the billing, that will be better too. But we are aggressively looking at these clinical services support laboratory efforts.
The only reason that makes sense is there's somebody to actually get money from over it, and there isn't. It's not like the state where we get reimbursed a percentage of our overhead allocation.
All right.
The next is the Building Reserve Fund. What this shows is that in 2014-15, you'll recall, we had a beginning fund balance of $15 million, and then we're estimating at the end of this year to have a fund balance of $70,000. And that's primarily the purchase of the building and the renovations to the building, et cetera. With that being said, we're still recommending next year doing the $1.3 million transfer into the Building Reserve Fund. We've got expenditures there for improvements for a Henderson location, and also with some other unknowns on if we are going to have other locations, we wanted to leave that at $1.3 million. We still left the 17-18 that projects out at the $1.3 million also. That feasibly, after we're more shored up with what's going on, if we're going to stay with mobile clinics, or if we're going to have both bricks and mortar and mobile, or exactly what we're going to do, we might recommend doing that transfer to the building fund to go down to like $700,000 to cover a reasonable depreciation expense so that we're building a reserve back up for future years.
How about when we're done making sure that we've paid all the bills with the new building, we close the Building Reserve Fund into the Capital Reserve Fund?
We can do that also, yes, sir.
We will be also renovating the laboratory. We've got maintenance, Sean's group, the maintenance group that's moving in, out of the bottom of the laboratory building, and we're going to be renovating that for the clinical piece, for the clinical services piece. So there'll be some funding coming out of that over, is it this year or next year, or both?
Both. Okay. A lot depends on when we get IT moved out, because it's still taking up a lot of that space.
Yeah.
So I think the Building Reserve Fund is far more politically charged terminology than most people in this room. Mm-hmm. And the sooner we drop that bucket into the river and it starts moving downstream, the better Southern Nevada is going to be. That is where I was coming from with the idea of eliminating the Building Reserve Fund.
And I'm fine with that, because if you go to the next slide, it shows the Capital Reserve Fund, and that's where we pay for capital improvements, capital equipment, those types of things. And as you can see, this year, well, we ended last year with a fund balance of $5.6 million. This year we're projecting to end with a fund balance of 4.3. Big cost for this coming year that we're spending down this year and next year is the ERP implementation. It should be hopefully live this time next year, so you may see different numbers and different presentations.
You may see different people. Y'all may quit. I've seen that before.
Have
it should be the electronic health record, too.
When do you
start? The new electronic health record.
The electronic health record, the goal is to start on that in 16-17.
When do you see the ERP starting?
What they've got us projected out now is to go live with finance in March of 17 and go live with payroll in May or June of 17.
Okay.
So we should be up and running at the end of next fiscal year. And then also next fiscal year, we hope to begin the process of an EHR so that it'll address our billing issues that we're having. And as you can see, that fund is slowly going down because we haven't been transferring monies into that fund. So if we consolidated the building reserve or eliminated the building reserve fund and put all the funds in the capital reserve, that would work fine. And then the insurance liability reserve fund, that's our workers' comp fund, because we're self-funded. Well, we were self-funded. Beginning August of last year, we are no longer self-funded. We joined the pool pact, and we are a member of that now. And so we're just leaving that reserve. It's, as you can see, it's starting to go down, but we have to leave a balance in there because the people that were hurt when we were self-funded are covered for a lifetime in
Do we have any employees who have the presumptive heart-lung benefit?
No, sir. Not to my knowledge.
HR.
We don't.
You know.
We do not.
Okay. And no permanent disabilities in our employee pool?
Mm-hmm.
No, because if you look at probably our claims expense, like last year was only $20,000 on our workers' comp, and but the policy coverage and all of that was covered out of the general fund. So what I'm trying to do is spin this down, and then as you can see in 17-18, I'm projecting that either I'll start financing it out of the fund.
I see.
Or we'll pay for it out of the general fund. But I've got to keep a certain amount of reserve in here.
Yeah.
And
no.
Right. Hold now.
On. Forever?
Yes. And so, well, or you just have to keep it as a reserve on
in your
general fund. And it has to be set aside.
So is you or a consultant calculating?
Yes,
that
a consultant.
And telling us what it is?
Yes.
To reserve for?
Yes, sir. Right now, it's at a little under 200,000 is
so
what
presumably
we
presumably in 10 years, someone will make a conclusion that we're not going to get any more claims on this and roll it back into the general fund.
Yes. And then, like, here was the last page. This was the recommendation that you've already approved. So, are there any more questions?
Any questions, board? Okay, seeing none, I would accept a recommendation to approve the 2016-17 budget to the Board of Health at the March 24, 2016 meeting to include any tax revenue budget adjustments that we may be notified of by Clark County after our board meeting, as well a request that a report be delivered at some future board meeting after March 24th on alternatives for calling our lab a proprietary fund, and with the addition, very minor and cosmetic addition to the PowerPoint presentations of some of the percentages on the year-over-year changes.
Yes, sir.
Do anyone want to make that motion?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those opposed say nay. And the motion passes. Okay. Force of five is to do what we've just done one bullet point at a time on items one through four, and is a hazard with a slightly unprepared chair of the committee.
At the full board meeting, do you want to consider making a lab? Stopping the lab from being a proprietary thing?
No, not yet. We'll agendize that at some future point when we get around to receiving the report, because I think Sharon will find us a direction to go that gets everyone happy.
Okay.
And with that, we'll take up agenda item five, public comment. Anyone want to make a public comment? Nothing beats Victoria down like a budget meeting. All right. Then we are adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
I didn't even know you, but I heard we had a meeting.
Advisory? We're trying to figure out what to do with the advisory.
Oh, okay.